The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the On Point with Victor show. I am Victor Armendariz. Welcome all. Yes, I am the Mexican not afraid to be American. You're Mexican not afraid to be American. But all right, folks, listen. This is the America's Web Radio station you're listening to. And we've got some stuff we've got to get to. Can you believe October's here? I mean, October's here. I mean, basically everyone, you need to sit down and hold on, and because this is a fast track now. It's October 1st. In 5 seconds, it's going to be Halloween, and 10 seconds after that, it'll be Thanksgiving, and 2 seconds after that, it'll be Christmas. So this is a great time of the year, folks. Embrace it. Enjoy it. I just, especially if you're in an area where there's four seasons and fall is upon us, and it's about to be, folks, it's one of the most beautiful times of the year. And in this country, it's one of the most beautiful places you can be, especially, you know, whether you're in the Smoky Mountains of, or the Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia, the Smokies in Tennessee, even parts of the Carolinas, all the way up the East Coast into New England. It's just some of the most beautiful scenery you'll ever see this time of year. It's absolutely amazing. And I don't care what the Democrats and all the lies they keep telling you, ladies and gentlemen. If you buy into their version of climate change, then you're just making your life hard, because every year they make predictions. They don't come true. And you can walk outside and see fall is here and the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful scenery is still here. The leaves still change. There's still greenery. There's still trees. There's still all of the things. And guess what's coming? Snow. You know, the Democrats said and the liberals said and progressives have been saying for years there's going to be no more snow. Yeah. Well, tell that to Mother Nature. But you know, so just embrace this and enjoy this time of the year. And as we get to Halloween, which I know Halloween, some people like, some people don't like, some people love. I actually love it. We do a great celebration at my house. My parents' house. It's a tradition for Halloween, but it's a family time. And Thanksgiving is a family time. Christmas is a family time. Christmaka. For those of you who are like some of us here, where you'll celebrate Christmas, you'll celebrate Hanukkah. We just put it together and call it Christmaka. but it is a great time of year, but this is a family time. And I want to take a moment and just listen. I know it's crazy with the election. I know it's crazy because we have a bunch of progressives that are trying to take over this country and send us down an authoritarianism road. You can even look at what John Kerry said the other day. Folks, I've been telling you, today's Democrat Party is the party of authoritarianism. They hate the First Amendment. They despise the Second Amendment. And John Kerry the other day told you exactly what the Democrat Party is planning if they win. So I know things are tough right now, and things, the economy's not great. Inflation is out of control. I don't care what they tell you. Inflation's still high. Prices are still high. So there are things, I understand it's hard. But this time of year, it needs to be about family. You need to be able to pause and make this about your family. Make sure you're spending time with your family and friends. Listen, my group of friends, they're like family. I mean, they basically are family. Our group of friends, I've got groups of friends that we've known each other since we were, I don't know, 11 years old or so. And some of us younger than that. I've got one good friend that I've known since pre-K. We just have a close circle of friends, I should say. My group of friends were very close, and we consider ourselves family. So they're part of my family. And, when you reach this time of the year, it really needs to be focused on family and friends, because ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing more important. There's not, all the other stuff comes second. When you're talking about family, and of course, God, we can't leave him out. But that, you know, God's part of these holidays, and you have, you know, you're going to be, you're spiritual in your own way, I guess, you know, however you do it, you do it. But there's a lot of truth to God, family, country. You know, there's a reason that God and family are first. I'm just telling you folks, I know it's crazy. The election's so crazy. And listen, you don't have to drop your guard. You need to get out there and be doing everything you can to help. And in this case, we need to help the Republican Party, Donald Trump. They need your help. So whether you can go knock on doors or you can make phone calls, you can make donations, whatever it is that you can do, do it. Do it. We do not want to allow cackling word salad Kamala Harris to be elected because you sat on the couch and didn't do anything. You don't want to wake up on November 6th and say, wow, I should have done something. Because I don't care how good you feel. Maybe you feel good about this election. Look, I do think Donald Trump has a great chance of winning, but he also has a chance to lose. And so we have to do everything. We have to pretend that we're 20 points behind, and we got to do everything we can do to help him win. So, but let me get back to this family thing. I want you to just because it's an election year and things, and listen, I mean, things are on the line. There's no doubt about it. This is a very, 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 very important election. But you can't forget your family. I don't want you to argue with your family. I don't want you to fight with your family. If you've got members of your family that are progressive nut jobs and they just can't see the light, it's okay. It's okay. You can love them still. They're part of your family. You have one original mother and an original father, and hopefully you have a relationship with them. If you've got step parents, I hope you have a relationship with them. If you're adopted, have a good relationship with those parents, those people, what they did for you. Brothers, sisters, just the whole, and friends, the whole family. Don't fight with your family, folks. Don't fight with your family. Listen, I'm probably lucky because just about 100% of my family would crawl through broken glass to vote for Donald Trump. and we got, a lot of us are Hispanic. But that's just the way it is because we believe in freedom. And you know what? We know what socialism looks like because we've seen it up close. And we don't want it here. We don't want it in this country. So don't fight with your family, folks. Listen, you can always agree to disagree. If you've got some whack job, progressive nut job family members, or if you've got some young family members who just don't know any better yet, they think they know everything, but they don't. And one day they're going to realize that. Don't fight with them. You just try to guide them along the way. If they'll have a conversation with you, have it. If they won't, then talk about something else. There's lots of football going on this time of year. I think baseball's still going on. You've got soccer going on. You've got hockey's going to fire up again. So there's plenty of other things to talk about if you can't have political discussions with your family. But don't fight with your family, folks. And listen, I say this to get to this. It's a sad day for us here at America's Web Radio. You guys have heard me refer on numerous occasions to Legendary Dave. Legendary Dave, Legendary Dave. Legendary Dave, in case you're a new listener, Legendary Dave is who I refer to, when I talk about David Moxley. And David Moxley was the owner, the founder, the CEO of America's Web Radio. And unfortunately, it's with heavy, heavy, heavy hearts of us, the host here, the producer Brett, we have to unfortunately announce that the other day, David Moxley, the founder, the CEO, the creator of America's Web Radio, passed away unexpectedly. It's a sad day for us here. It's one of those things that everybody at some point in their life are going to have to deal with. I mean, some of you have dealt with it with your family members or with elders or friends. And here at America's Web Radio, it was like another, or is another family for us, for myself, for Roger B, host of Locked and Loaded, for Mark the Shark, host of Abide Reality, for producer Brett, for the Doctor's Lounge, and for all the other shows here, all the other hosts. America's Web Radio is an extended family for us. I, for one, try to come into the studio and do my show from this studio. I've been almost every show I've done, I have done from the studio because that I enjoy coming to America's Web Radio. I enjoy being here. I enjoyed talking with David, you know, it's like I said, it's an extended type of family, and it's a pretty big loss to come in here today and not have David anymore. We don't have Legendary Dave. Now Legendary Dave was getting older. He didn't run the board all the time. He didn't, you know, producer Brett took care of most of the operations here. But Legendary Dave was still here, and Legendary Dave would always sit down. You know, you guys didn't see him. Those of you who watch my show on the webcams, a lot of times you couldn't see him, but Legend Dave would sit with me sometimes. He might be just outside the studio, or he might be, just to my left or right outside of the picture in studio, but he was always nearby. And he would make little notes, and he would pass notes. You know, you guys never saw this, but he'd pass little notes to me. He'd get fired up sometimes, which was in a way it was humbling to me, because for me, a guy who just gets on the radio behind this microphone and talks to you, I give you my opinion, I give you my analysis, but that I was able to fire David up sometimes to the point where he would act, almost 20, 30 years younger, because I'd get him hopping mad. because, you know, David is a very staunch conservative. He doesn't care much for the Democrats, especially today. And, he had very, very open opinions. Legendary Dave didn't hold back much. But I tell you, it meant something to me that I could fire him up sometimes just based, and guys, you listen to me. I'll blast both sides, and David would just sit there. I'd blast the Republicans and the establishment, and David would just sit there and take it. But he would always come back with some questions and stuff. And a lot of times he would agree with me because he was like, you know what, Victor, you're right. You're right about this. So it was great, but anytime he thought I was wrong, he would let me know. But that's Legendary Dave, and so I want to take a little bit of time here and just want to pay a little bit of homage and just kind of do a little thing here for David and just remembering David Moxley. Folks, When you look at David, you know, he didn't just start America's Web Radio. I mean, gosh, I think back in 2005, I mean, he was in radio since he was 14 years old. I want you guys to stay tuned after my show. I want you, because after the On Point with Victor show today, which we'll end this show at 2 o'clock, those of you who are listening live, now listen, those of you who are listening on Spotify and listening on Apple Podcasts, and you're listening to me at your leisure, and I thank you for that. What you'll want to do is when you're done listening to this show, when you're done listening to this episode of On Point with Victor, you're going to want to look up Locked and Loaded with Roger B. Locked and Loaded with Roger B. It's a show that I actually guest host on with Roger B almost every week. I'm on there for at least the first half hour of that show. And Roger and I, we have a lot of fun supporting the Second Amendment and talking about guns and educating you about guns and ammo and all those other fun things that go along with shooting. But today, and again, if you're listening on podcast, you'll just want to look up the Roger B show, Locked and Loaded with Roger B. Because today on the Locked and Loaded with Roger B show, I'm going to hang around. Roger B will be here, and host, Mark from Vita Reality. He will be here. Well, actually he'll be phoning it in, but that's okay. We'll all be here. And we're going to do the show, probably a full hour, just talking about David, talking about, David's legacy and talking about what he's done, what he did to get to the point of creating America's Web Radio and how far America's Web Radio has come along. We'll tell some stories and it's just going to be a lot of fun to talk about a man that started in radio when he was 14 years old. And that was a lot of years ago, folks. maybe producer Brett can shed some light on what year that was when David was 14 years old and got into radio and, which led him all the way to creating America's Web Radio, I think in 2005. And, it's because David had a vision. He had a vision of doing something he thought, I think he called it chat radio. Doing something where he's like, you know, there's a lot of talk radio out there, Let's do some chat radio. You know, David was a pioneer. I mean, he was a podcaster before it was cool to be a podcaster. So we'll talk about things like that. But that's going to be right after this show, folks. So you'll want to listen to that. But before I get into the news of the day, into some politics, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what David has done for me. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you guys know, most of you know, that I'm a fill-in host for the Eric Erickson Show. Eric Erickson Show, which is a nationally syndicated show across this country. I am one of the fill-in hosts for Eric whenever our schedules align. And I'm not just going to pat myself on the back here, but I'm not afraid to tell you, because Eric would tell you this himself, and so would his producer. I am the most requested guest host they've ever had. So that's very humbling. And the only way I was able to do that and have that opportunity is because of legendary Dave. Because David Moxley, who gave me, listen, folks, when I came into America's Web Radio, I had never done radio other than being a guest host a few months before on another show called The News and Views with Gregory Howard. And the only reason I was a guest on his show is because when I ran for Congress back in 2016, Greg, who was the host of that show, somebody told him about me and said, "There's this little Mexican dude running as a Republican, and he's running against Hank Johnson, the Democrat that thought that the island of Guam was going to tip over," and that sparked people's interest. And this was right before the election in 2016. Gregory Howard calls me up and has me, and I came in as a guest, and he interviewed me in one of his candidate interviews. And then a few months later, after the election, we're talking probably January, February of 2017, Gregory, the host then of a show called News and Views with Gregory Howard, he calls me up and says, "You know, Victor, we've gotten so much response after my interview with you. I want you to come in and guest host." So I went in and guest hosted, and that was my first taste of real radio. I've always been a fan of radio. My dream since a little boy has been to be on radio as a talk host. Back when I was growing up, every morning, my mom had Neil Bortz on the radio. And if you don't know who Neil Bortz is, you need to look him up. You need to look him up. But it started out as a little kid like that. But anyway, it took all the way to 2016, 2017 for me to get a taste of radio by being a guest, you know, being able to sit in studio and basically be interviewed and get to throw my 2 cents in worth on a show called News and Views with Gregory Howard. Well, that led to a host that used to be here at America's Web Radio. There used to be a show here in America's Web Radio. Oh my goodness, I'm going to forget the name of the show. Gosh, but it was another Greg, who was the host, and he saw me speak, you know, cause I used to speak for other candidates and things like that. And he knew I ran for Congress and saw me give some speeches. And so he calls me up and he goes, "Hey, I got a show at America's Web Radio. And, I would like you, if you'd like to come in as guest host, because I'm going to be out a few days. So come guest host. And then if that goes well, hopefully you can be a fill-in host for me." And I, of course, jumped at the opportunity. So I show up here one day at America's Web Radio and I meet David. And David, let me tell you, David was a very, like I said, he does not hold his emotions back. He wears them all on his sleeve. David's very protective of his radio station, was very protective of America's Web Radio. So here comes along this short little Mexican dude, this brown guy comes and sits down, and I show up at the studio, and I get here before Greg, the host back then. I get here before him, and David's looking at me like, "What are you doing here? What do you want?" I'll never forget it. And I was like, "Hey, I was just told to be here at this time. I'm guest hosting with your host Greg." And I'll never forget it. Legendary Dave looked at me and he goes, "Well, I didn't know about it. And if I didn't know about it, then you must not be any good." Or, I mean, the looks on his face. Oh my goodness, folks. I will never forget it. Never forget it. But the other host showed up and we sat down and I did the show with him, and Greg sat there and at this time, I'm sorry, David sat there and ran the board. So David's watching this whole show go on, and I'm sitting there. First of all, it's the first major show that I did where I was actually the guest host, not just in studio answering questions or anything, but I was actually a guest host, and David's just, just staring me down basically, to me, I'm looking at this David guy who I just met, who wasn't happy that I was there, looking at me thinking, man, this guy's just judging me. This guy's telling, well, what have I got? I'm not doing well. So David was a very intimidating figure. And like I said, he's very guarded of America's Web Radio. But I sat here and I did a show and then I left right after the show and David, I don't think he said two words to me. And then the next week comes, I get a call from this host. I'm not going to be there. And this was it was like 30 minutes before the show. And he calls me up and he goes, I'm not going to be there. Can you go do the show for me? And I was like, well, sure. To me, it's an opportunity. So I get in my car and I rush to the show and I put some notes together and I walk into the studio. And again, legendary Dave looks at me and goes, what the hell are you doing here? And I look and I said, look, I was asked to come be a guest host because your host Greg can't make it. And once again, David looks at me and he goes, well, I didn't know that. And if I didn't know that, then that's just wrong. Oh my goodness, folks. And I think he immediately started dialing up the phone of the other host. And I didn't want to get in between that, but oh my goodness, folks, it was crazy. But David said, the show must go on. And David said, well, you get in that studio and you better put on a good show. and folks, I did the show for the first time and it was by myself and it was a blast. I had a good time. Now, if you go back and listen to that show, if it's still in the archives, oh my goodness, I was so nervous and just nowhere near the skills that I've developed now. But I had some talent, as David would put it, and it did start to flourish. But I will say this, when I finished that show, David comes in during the last break, and he comes over to me during the break, and he goes, when you're done, you come see me in my office. That's all he said. That's all he said. I mean, and I am not, it was probably even worse than that. I'm not doing it justice, but I'm just a picture of this, folks. I'm doing the show and I'm in the last break and I'm looking through my notes trying to figure out how am I going to end the show today. And David walks in and he peeks his head in and he goes, when this show's over, you come see me in my office. Don't you leave without coming to see me. And I'm thinking, oh man, I must have been so bad. This is going to be short. My radio career is short lived. It lasted two shows and I'm done. That's what I'm thinking. So I end the show and I go back and I sit down. I walk into David's office and he's just sitting there and he goes, sit down. And I sit down and he looks at me and he goes, now Victor, I've been doing radio for a long time. I've actually been doing radio since I was 14 years old. And I look at him and I said, well, David, you're kind of a legend. And this is where I came up with the legendary Dave. And he goes, oh, no, I'm not a legend. I'm just David. But I've been doing this a long time. And then he looked at me and he goes, I don't want this to go to your head, Victor. I don't want this. He goes, because you need some work. He said, but I got to tell you, you've got talent. He said, everybody, he looked at me and he said, everybody thinks they can do talk radio, but very few people can do talk radio. And he goes, you can do it. You have that special spark. He goes, I think you could be one of the next big deals. And I didn't know what to say, folks. I'm looking at him going, oh my gosh, because to me, I was so nervous and I felt like, oh my gosh, that show probably was terrible. I felt like I fumbled through the show. I kind of felt like I did the first time I filled in for Eric Erickson. I mean, I got a lot of kudos for the show, but I knew I could do much better. So I'm sitting there with David and he tells me this and he goes, now don't let this go to your head. He goes, but I'm just telling you, I know radio. Everybody thinks they can do it, but very few people can, but you can do it. He goes, if you keep up with this, you're going to be somewhere. You're going to make it somewhere. You're probably going to be a commentator on Fox News one day. He goes, but you're going to be big in radio. He goes, I can see that. He goes, but you do need work. And then he started telling me what I did wrong and what I needed to improve on. But I will never forget it because it's because of David Moxley. It's because of David, the owner of America's Web Radio, the creator of America's Web Radio. It's because he sat there and while in the beginning, the way I came into the studio and everything, he did not like because, you know, it wasn't like he interviewed me. It wasn't like I had a show somewhere else and he said, yeah, come on over. No, it was another host who brought me in without telling David. And, so it went from where David was kind of standoffish with me to David looking at me in the eye going, you've got some talent. We're going to develop this talent and we're going to work, because he ended that conversation with me by saying, I want you to come in next week and I want you to have a name for the show and you tell me what, we'll talk about time slots and what days are best, but you are going to do your own show. That, ladies and gentlemen, is how I ended up with On Point with Victor. And from there, thanks to David Moxley and of course him kind of guiding me a little bit and telling me where I needed to brush up and where I didn't, you know, think he was a good guidance. But from there, doing this show since, gosh, I don't know, sometime in 2017, and just doing this show now for several years here at America's Web Radio, it enabled me, especially the first few years, to really, really develop my talents and really hone in on my talents. And it's because of David. It's because he gave me the chance. And ladies and gentlemen, this was sometime in 2017 when he gave me the opportunity to do this show. And you fast forward to 2020, I think it was Thanksgiving of 2021 when I got the phone call from the producer, from Eric Erickson's producer, said, hey Victor, we'd like to give you a shot to fill in. And then I went and filled in for Eric. This was in the holiday time of 2021. So late in the year in 2021, I fill in for Eric and the response was amazing. And then they brought me back a few weeks later into the new year and I filled in for Eric again. And I am so humbled to this day because I still get messages from Eric's listeners that want to hear me more. They found my show and they tell me that I am just somebody that they've been waiting to hear. And it's just very humbling, but I would not have gotten the opportunity to be able to fill in for Eric and for thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to hear me were it not for legendary Dave, David Moxley of America's Web Radio. So I look, I know there are times, folks, when David, he did not make people happy. Again, he did not hold things back. He had no filter. He's up there in age, or he was up there in age. So he was brought up at different times than we were. So he had a different view. And back then you said what you thought. If it came in your mind, you said it. And that's how David was. But through all of that I've gotten messages from some people going, oh, David's talking on your show. And yeah, you know, he did, but it was his radio station. It's his. So I was on borrowed time for him in a way. So he could say whatever he wanted. It was fun to engage with David. And again, if it weren't for David, I wouldn't be here. And if I wasn't here, I wouldn't be filling in for Eric Erickson. So, I used to tell David that I wouldn't be anywhere where I am today were it not for him. And believe it or not, David could be humble. And David would always look at me and goes, no, you did it. It's your talent that is getting you where you're going. And I kept telling him, yes, but you opened the door for me. You opened the door and you allowed me to come sit down on your radio station with your reputation on the line. And you let this little Mexican dude get behind this microphone and start blabbing about politics. But David said, you know what? But I saw your talent. And I thank him for that. And I will always, always be thankful for what David has afforded me to become, because now look, folks, I'm still very low on the totem pole in terms of talk radio, but I've made leaps and bounds. I mean, I've got some social media posts that have gotten over a million views. I think I've got a couple that gotten 2 million views. None of this would have happened were it not for America's Web Radio. But the biggest jump in my career was being able to fill in for Eric Erickson. Now, you guys don't hear me as much as you would like. I understand that. And I'd like to fill in more for Eric Erickson, but you know, it is what it is. Radio is very tough business to be in. And sometimes my schedule and Eric's schedule doesn't line up. But when it does, I fill in for Eric, and it is great. And in fact, folks, I last week during this show, while I was doing the live show, we had listeners. I had listeners that started calling the Eric Erickson show looking for me. I mean, that's how I guess when people just really start listening, they forget that my show's coming live from America's Web Radio and not from a syndicated FM station. And they started calling in Eric. So, yes, Brett.
Would you like to skip the break?
Well, we don't have to. Actually, let's take the break. I need a little.
Right.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. But listen, I want you to everything that I've been talking about, we're going to get into more at the 2 o'clock hour. So please stay tuned at 2 o'clock for the Locked and Loaded Roger show, Locked and Loaded Roger B show. And if you're listening on Spotify, you're listening on Apple Podcasts, you're listening on any podcast, look up the Locked and Loaded show, because we're going to go into some detail about David after this show. So, all right, but let's take a break right now. Listen, when we come back, I'll get into what most of you guys tuned in for. We'll get into news of the day, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back. This is the On Point with Victor show.
Hi, I'm Joe DeLapp. I've been on the National Fundraising Board at St. Jude for 20 years. On September 28th, we're holding our Walk Run fundraiser to help the sick kids at St. Jude. Go online to stjude.org/walkrun. That's stjude.org/walkrun. And look for St. Jude Walk Run in your area. Or if you'd like, you can join my fundraiser supporting the Walk Run this year. You can go to walkrun.stjude.org/DeLapp. That's DELAPP. That's walkrun.stjude.org/DeLapp. Thank you.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show. I am Victor Armendariz, the Mexican, not afraid to be American. Not afraid to be American. All right, folks, let's get into some news of the day. And listen, again, once again, don't forget, stay tuned and listen to the Locked and Loaded show after this with Roger B., me, myself, and the host from Bite of Reality, Mark the Shock. Stay tuned, because we're going to do a tribute to David Moxley, the legendary Dave, the owner of America's Web Radio, who unfortunately passed away a few days ago unexpectedly. So we would like to pay homage to him. And listen, folks, I want you to stay tuned and be tuned into my social media, which is On Point with Victor. I mean, you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, and I don't even know where else. But if you just follow On Point with Victor on any of those platforms, because there will be, unfortunately, with the passing of David, there's going to be some changes to America's Web Radio. There'll be some, things are going to change. But the On Point with Victor show will live on. We will always be thankful for David, and we will move on with On Point with Victor. The show, as they say, must go on. So, but there will be some changes, so I want you to stay tuned for that. Just stay honed in on my social media, because as in the next few weeks, and we will, there'll be some changes, but we'll keep you apprised of the situation or anything that changes on my social media. Okay, I even have a website, folks. I don't do much with it, but I do have a website, On Point with Victor. So you can find it and find me on social media. Social media is the best way to stay up on all the news with what's happening to this show, and to find out when I'm filling in for Eric Erickson next. And listen, I've got some things coming up where I might be filling in for some other big time host. So stay tuned to my social media. I've also, folks, listen to this. I've got a call from the Trump people. Now, I joke all the time, and you guys know that I've said countless of times, Donald Trump should hire me. It would do him well. Or use me at some of his rallies. Use me. Just use me. Use my talents. And I'm not just trying to be boastful. I know I could help Trump, especially with the Latino community and the Hispanic community, the minority community. But I got a call. I got a call from the Trump team in Georgia. I'm going to be part of a roundtable on Friday. This is going to be a Hispanic roundtable on Friday. There's going to be some media. I don't have all the details yet, but once I have the details, I will put this out on social media. So this again, another reason to follow On Point with Victor on Instagram, on Facebook, on X, and I don't know where, Twitter? No, not Twitter, X. What's the other one called? TikTok. You can follow me on TikTok. Listen, I don't like any social media, let alone TikTok, but I've got a lot of young listeners, ladies and gentlemen, and young minds need to hear what I have to say. And that, is getting through on TikTok, because I think the biggest impact I have on social media right now is, believe it or not, TikTok. And if I can battle back the Chinese propaganda, Democrat propaganda crap that's all over TikTok, then I'm going to do it. And that's what we're doing with On Point with Victor. So follow On Point with Victor, Facebook, On Point with Victor, Instagram, On Point with Victor, TikTok, On Point with Victor X. You can find me in all those places and follow, because I will, as soon as I get the details, which will be coming up for my roundtable, where I'm participating in a roundtable, an Hispanic roundtable for Trump. It'll be on Friday, this coming Friday. When I get the details, it'll be all over my social media. It'll be all over my social media, because some of you may be able to be a guest. If you want to be part and be a guest and witness this, I'm not sure yet, so don't take this to heart yet, but I believe this is going to be at a restaurant or somewhere where you might be able to come and be part of a viewing audience for this roundtable that we're going to do, this Hispanic roundtable. And there's going to be media there, because, you know, they just refuse to believe that Hispanics, especially Mexicans, can support Trump. But we do. In fact, the new numbers that came out the other day on the number of Hispanics that are moving to Trump and voting for Trump. I mean, folks, I think there's a 14-point gap between Kamala and Trump on Hispanic voters. And that's unheard of. That is unheard of. The Hispanics are moving to Trump. And it's hilarious to see, and I love it, because it's driving the Democrats out of their ever-loving minds, and they can't understand it. Just as the Democrats cannot understand why Donald Trump has so much support, they can't understand why the Hispanics are moving to Trump, and they can't understand why black men, especially young black men, are moving to Donald Trump. This is really something, and it's really fun to watch the Democrats melt because they can't figure this out. So on Friday, I will be participating in a roundtable. There will be some media and maybe an audience. So I will let you know. So stay tuned to my social media. Stay tuned to my social media, because as soon as I get all the details, then you will have all the details. And if there's going to be an audience, I will let you know so you can be there, because I would love for some On Point with Victor listeners to be there. And in fact, the more listeners that could be there to support me and support this show in front of the media, the better. Make your own signs. But the more of you that can be there, the better. So spread the word. So that'll be this Friday. It's going to be at 10:30. And again, that's all. I don't have all the information yet. So when I do have the information, it will be posted on my social media. So, all right. Okay. So we had that major storm, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't heard about it, then you must live on the West Coast. But a major storm, that Hurricane Helene came through, and it did a number on Florida. It did a number on Georgia, and it did a number on North Carolina. I think it did a number on parts of Tennessee as well. But you know what? Have you noticed? You're not hearing the media go after Ron DeSantis. You're not hearing the media go after Kemp. You know why? Because they were prepared. Because Ron DeSantis, listen, if they could go after Ron DeSantis, they would. But Ron DeSantis has probably the most competent, listen, government is inherently incompetent in almost everything it does, especially when you've got liberals and Democrats, and I shouldn't even say liberals, but when you've got Democrats and you've got progressives controlling any part of government, that government is going to be inefficient, ineffective, and incompetent, as you can imagine. But government inherently is incompetent. I'm sorry, but that is just a fact. But when you break it down into our wonderful little democracies, which are every state in this union, you've got a government of Florida that is probably the most well-run and closest thing to a pretty darn competent government as you're ever going to find. And that's because Ron DeSantis is at the helm. Ron DeSantis is at the helm. And believe you me, If this media, if the Democrats could go after Ron DeSantis for anything that was done wrong or anything with incompetence, they would be doing it. But you're not hearing a word. Because if they say anything about Ron DeSantis, then you might pay attention and see that his Republican conservative libertarian leadership is actually doing a pretty competent job. And Florida was responding to that storm the minute that storm hit. So it's an amazing, and kudos to Georgia, because, you know, Georgia, listen, we've got coast on Georgia. So Georgia is familiar with hurricanes, and Brian Kemp does he have faults? Of course he does. We all have faults, but Brian Kemp has been a much better governor than a lot of conservatives gave him, would have thought he would have been. He's done a pretty darn good job, but Brian Kemp had Georgia ready for this hurricane. So there were the response after this hurricane went through, and let's face it, it was a tropical storm by the time it got to Georgia. I want to be accurate because the progressives and the libtards will try to come after me for anything they can. So the tropical storm that came through Georgia, you know, once it was done, the response from Kemp and from Georgia, from the emergency officials in Georgia and the government has been pretty good, pretty spot on. And Tennessee, the same thing. And what does Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida all have in common? Republican governorship. Republicans running the government and running it pretty efficiently. That's the common denominator when you look at Tennessee, when you look at Georgia, and when you look at Florida. Now, what do we have in North Carolina? We have a Democrat governor. And what do we have? We had some pretty bad placed misplaced resources that they cannot get to the hardest hit area, which was, I believe, Asheville, you know, up there in the mountains in western North Carolina. I mean, there are people dying. I'm going to say this. I don't like saying this, but I'm going to say it because this is what the Democrats do. This is, you know, I'm old enough to remember how they eviscerated W. Bush during Katrina. And how they tried to destroy George W. Bush over Katrina. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this storm Helene was pretty darn bad. It was a very, very bad. It was basically Katrina, except not in New Orleans, but over Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. This storm dumped so much water in so many areas that it's basically washed away an entire town or two in North Carolina, western North Carolina. Part of I-40 has washed away. There are parts of Asheville, I think it's Asheville, but western North Carolina in the mountains, there's part of these towns that are disconnected from civilization now because there's no road to get to them. There's no road to get to them because it washed away because of so much rain from this storm. And while all this was happening, Joe Biden, the dementia patient in chief, was tanning himself on a beach, and Kamala cackling word salad Harris was hobnobbing with the rich and elite, a lot of white folks, in San Francisco. So Harris is fumbling through her word salads and trying to raise money with a bunch of rich people in San Francisco. Joe Biden is working on his tan on a beach, and people are dying in North Carolina. And where's the media? If a Republican were president right now, and I don't care who, I don't care if it was Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, or Donald Trump. It doesn't matter who the Republican president, if there was a Republican president right now, and that Republican president was on a beach during, while people were dying from a storm, what do you think the media would be doing right now? Oh, you know, you libtard Democrat sycophants out there, you know darn well what the media would be doing. But now they're completely silent. Joe Biden, dementia patient in chief, who couldn't find his way out of a paper bag, is on the beach tanning himself, can't bring himself to care enough to get off the freaking beach, go to the White House, and at least look like you're engaged. I don't give a rat's, you know what, how many times you tell us, well, I'm on the phones, I'm working the phones. You're on the freaking beach. And those optics are terrible. And I'm sorry, you know it, and everybody else knows it. Along with governance, optics is a huge thing. Maybe it shouldn't be, but it is. And the American people need to know that their president is engaged. And right now, we have a pretend president and the dementia patient. We have probably the real president who's been behind the scenes helping run things, which is Kamala Harris, who now doesn't want you to know that she was helping run things. Because let's face it, Joe Biden's not running crap. Kamala Harris isn't running crap. The puppet handlers are running the show. Obama's people are running the show. You've got probably got Susan Rice back there pulling some strings. You've got Mark Elias back there pulling some strings. You've got the Obama people that are pulling the strings of Biden and of Kamala. So let's get that clear. But you've got, either way, let's look at the optics. The current president is a dementia patient, Joe Biden. The current vice president and anointed nominee for the Democrat, to be the Democrat presidential candidate. Both of them, one of them's on the beach, one of them's hobnobbing with rich people in San Francisco on the West Coast, and here on the East Coast, people are dying. And neither one of them could bring it to themselves to care enough to get their butts back to Washington. Hey, look, you can work the phones in Washington, but at least in Washington, D.C., you look like you're engaged. You look like you cared enough to get back to where that's where the bureaucracy is. So when it comes to FEMA and emergency services that are being put out by the government, the federal government, that's all going to come from Washington, D.C. So if you want the American people to think that you care, to think that you give a rat's you know what about them, and to show them that you're engaged, then your butt needs to be off the beach and in D.C. Your butt needs to stop hobnobbing with rich, white, elitist people in San Francisco who are the most progressive, socialist, communist wannabes in this country. Why they won't leave? Well, I do know why they won't leave. Because they're part of their little socialist club with the politicians. But Kamala Harris, you are trying to tell us how much you care about this country. And you're ready to be president on day one. Forget the fact that your day one started 3.5 years ago. Oh, but apparently your voters are dumb enough to not understand that. And you're going to just tell them, oh, well, my day one is going to be January of 2025. But you won't get off your, you know what, to stop hobnobbing with the rich folks, the elitist folks. And you won't come back to Washington to oversee because Joe Biden can't do it. So why don't you do it, Kamala? And you won't even, you know what? Donald Trump, who's not even president, was in Georgia yesterday because Georgia got hit pretty darn hard. And Donald Trump was down there in Georgia. And you know what Donald Trump's doing? And ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you don't like Trump, but you need one reason to vote for him, I will give you one reason. Elon Musk. There's your reason to, if you're on the fence or you're one of those wacko people who just hate Trump, I can't bring it to vote for Trump. Wah, wah. Well, if you need a reason, if you want a reason that doesn't involve Trump, well, it sort of involves Trump, but if you want a reason, one good reason to vote for Donald Trump in November, I'll give you that reason. And that reason is Elon Musk. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday in southern Georgia, where Donald Trump visited, they're going to be without power for I don't know how long, which means they're disconnected. There's no internet. They may not even have cell phone service. So you know what Donald Trump did? Donald Trump picked up the phone and he called Elon. Elon, what can we do to help these people in South Georgia that are not connected? They've got nothing. They got no way to connect to the internet. They got nothing. People in North Carolina, they got nothing. And Elon Musk, you know what he said? Well, Mr. Trump, why don't we fire up Starlink? You know, that's a little something that I created. Not government. I created. Private sector. The private business created it. The leadership of Elon Musk. And Elon Musk told Trump, hey, you know what, Trump? Why don't we put Starlink out there and we'll get all these people connected? Because I have something I created. Private sector we created. And we put it up there in the sky and I can get everybody connected. Biden didn't even think of that. Kamala damn sure didn't think of that. But you know what's funny now, folks? Ever since yesterday, Donald Trump announced to the people of Georgia and North Carolina that, hey, we're going to get Starlink. I called Elon Musk. He's going to make it happen. Now, you're going to start seeing reports, and believe you me, folks, believe you me, you're going to see reports of Harris. Again, she's going to try and steal an idea for Trump, because Kamala Harris is going to run around spouting word salad everywhere that somehow she's going to get people connected. Oh, she has a satellite. Oh, she's got, mark my words, ladies and gentlemen, it will be 5 seconds from now, if not already, Kamala Harris will be running around saying that she is going to get satellite for the people of Georgia and connectivity to the people of North Carolina. And she's going to do it because Donald Trump actually went to Georgia. Kamala's in San Francisco trying to raise money, hobnobbing with a bunch of rich people. Donald Trump, who's not even president, flew down, stood with the people of Georgia and said, I made a phone call to Elon Musk, because Donald Trump doesn't give you word salads. Donald Trump doesn't give you a bunch of platitudes. Donald Trump is a businessman and he's a doer. Because when you're responsible for actual business, when you're responsible for private sector business, then you're responsible for employees. You're responsible for so many lives. Then you've got to make things happen. You can't just talk platitudes, because you can't go hold a gun to the American people's head and say we're collecting more taxes from you because we're too stupid to manage money. See, Donald Trump can't do that. The private sector can't do that. The private sector has to rely on competition. The private sector has to rely on results. And Donald Trump gets results. And Donald Trump makes things happen. Donald Trump comes up with solutions. And Donald Trump stood there in Georgia in front of the people in Georgia and for the North Carolina people to hear. And he said, I picked up the phone, folks. He goes, the first thing he noticed, there's no connectivity. These poor people have no connection. They have no Wi-Fi. Many don't have cell phones. They don't have power. So he picked up the phone and he called Elon Musk. Elon, what can we do to connect these people back to the world? And Elon Musk said, you know what? I got this cool thing called Starlink. Let's make it happen. And that's going to happen because of Donald Trump and because of Elon Musk. Not because of Harris. Harris is running around with word salad. What's that word salad going to get you? What's the word salad going to do for the people in North Carolina who have no home? What's the word salad going to do for the people who have no food and no cell service and no internet? What's the word salads from Harris going to do for any of the people affected by that storm? Not a damn thing. But Donald Trump, who's not even president, is on the ground in Georgia, already on the ground in Georgia, helping fire those people up, keep them motivated, tell them that they're not forgotten. And not only that, I'm going to get you connected because I called Elon Musk and Elon Musk is going to make this happen. Folks, let me tell you something. I am dead serious here. I don't care what you think about Trump. I don't care what you think, but if you want a reason to vote for him, this is a perfect reason. Elon Musk, because Elon Musk is going to be a big part of this administration. And I don't know if you realize it. Listen, I make fun of EVs all the time, but I can tell you, as I've told you before, the technology is amazing, and none of these EVs would be here if it weren't for Elon Musk. This technology that's out there is because of Elon Musk, and having someone like Elon Musk who, ladies and gentlemen, Elon Musk is probably, I mean, if he's not the smartest man on the planet, he's one of the smartest men on the planet. And to have him be part of the administration is worth voting for Donald Trump. I don't care if you hate the man passionately. It is worth having Elon Musk on our side. Imagine what can come out of the mind of Elon Musk to help straighten out the federal government. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government should be on a budget, and they're not. The federal government, let me give you an idea. Back in 2004, let's just forward from 2000 to 2008. When George W. Bush left the White House, we had a national debt of $5 trillion. Maybe it was 10 when he left. Let's go with 10. $10 trillion. Obama comes in and serves 8 years, and he more than doubled it. So, you go to 20 plus trillion with a T, trillion dollars in debt. And then you got Trump, and Trump was trying to straighten things out, and then COVID hit. So there goes the debt. And then Biden-Harris comes in, and all Biden-Harris can do is spend, print, and drive inflation through the freaking roof. Because see, here's the difference. Donald Trump had to deal with COVID, and Donald Trump spent a lot of money. And listen, some of the money that he spent, I disagreed with. But the difference is the economy was starting to grow under Donald Trump again. And the economy grew in the first 3 years of Trump. The economy grew amazingly well. I mean, it was on record levels the way it was growing. And when you have a growing economy, that is the way you keep inflation down when you got bozo politicians spending money. And the Republicans are almost just as guilty as the Democrats when it comes to spending money. But when you got somebody like Donald Trump who came in and grew the economy, you keep inflation down. Donald Trump had inflation of barely 1%. But then Harris comes in and with Biden, and they spend money like it was growing on trees. But at the same time, they kill the American economy. They contract the American economy. And that is a recipe, a horrible recipe for massive inflation. So what do we get under Harris? We got massive inflation. And what happened? Your prices, everything that involves your life went up in cost because of Harris, because of Biden, because of that inflation. But what I'm trying to get here and get you to understand and why we need someone like Elon Musk to help Trump. And Elon Musk already said he will help Trump. He'll be part of the cabinet. Is because we need to get a grasp on the budget. We need to get a grasp on the spending, folks, because the only way we're going to bring down inflation is to grow the economy. And then if you want to keep a growing economy and low inflation, you've got to curb some of this spending. But that's something that apparently your normal politician just cannot fathom. Especially when it comes to your Democrats of today. So it's just simple what I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. It's just simple. You may hate Donald Trump for some reason or another. I don't know. I think you're a little weird if you do. Because your only other option is the word salad. And you don't want the word salad because she's going to kill this economy. Because they've already killed it done a pretty good job of killing this economy in the last 3.5 years. But if you want a reason to vote for Donald Trump that's not Donald Trump, then you vote because Elon Musk. You vote because of Elon Musk. Because Elon Musk is going to be part of this administration, the new Trump administration. And I'll bet you Elon Musk has some pretty good ideas on how to rein in our freaking spending. I mean, it's going to be glorious to watch. But just look at the solution that Donald Trump came up with the help of Elon Musk, to help the people of Georgia, to help the people of North Carolina, to help the people of Tennessee. And while Donald Trump and Elon Musk are coming up with ways to help the people devastated by the storm, Joe Dementia Patient Biden was tanning on a beach, and Kamala Word Salas Cackling Harris was hobnobbing with the rich and elite in San Francisco. American people are dying. Kamala's hobnobbing in San Francisco with rich people. And Joe Biden is lost on a beach somewhere working on tan. And Donald Trump, who's not even president, already on the ground in Georgia, looking at the devastation, talking with people, motivating them, letting them know that they're not forgotten, and they will not be forgotten under a Donald Trump presidency. And then he came up with a solution to get them connected back to the world with the help of Elon Musk and Starlink. I mean, folks, it is amazing. If you'll just take off your blinders and pay attention, you will see the actual difference in actions, where you've got action and solutions from Donald Trump and you get platitudes and word salads from Kamala Harris. And platitudes and word salads are not going to make your life better. They're not going to bring your costs down. They're not going to put more money in your pocket. But solutions from Donald Trump and Elon Musk, oh yeah, they're going to put money in your pocket. They're going to get inflation down. They're going to fire this economy up. And if you're a minority, you want Donald Trump's economy. You remember what it was before, and it's going to be that on overdrive when he comes back. So now listen, folks, before I get out of here, don't forget tonight is the vice presidential debate between Vance and Waltz. Waltz was just caught being in another lie, telling another lie the other day. I'm sure this is going to come out tonight. So pay attention tonight, because Waltz is he does not have the brain power to go against Vance. This is going to be fun to watch. The media is going to do everything they can to help Waltz, but Vance, he's going to be able to hold his own, folks. So watch, pay attention to that tonight. It's going to be fun to watch. All right, folks, stay tuned. Locked and Loaded, Roger B's up next with myself and Mark the Shark from Body Reality.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.